How are you doing?
Good, man. Can you hear me good and all
Oh
that?
yeah, it sounds fantastic. It sounds
Cool.
great.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on, man.
Oh yeah,
Seriously.
no, thank you for joining me because we've been having interviews galore between Victor and Phyllis, and I was like, "Where's mine at?" And of course, Victor connected me to you, and I was like, "Let's do this," because I've been enjoying that new track, "Gotta Get Out of Here," the whole album too, and everything.
Dude, hell yeah, man. Yeah, me and Victor, bro, go a long way. I remember I met him in like 2013 or 14 before he was the program director, and actually our tour bus at the time broke down at the night before in Idaho Falls, and that morning we were getting it towed, so a few of the members had to stay back, and that's when I went and did the interview with Wick Victor, got a new
Recording
bus
in
there.
progress.
Yeah, man, it's just a cool story, you know what I'm saying?
That's so cool. Yeah, I know. I feel like everybody knows Victor around here, especially, but like anything interview related, Victor knows who to go to get them. And we've been trying to get more in touch with the artists now that, COVID seems to be sort of over and that sort of thing. And obviously, like, been introduced to a lot of new music on this station when I just started here a year ago. And of
Okay.
course, you're one of the newer ones. And I was like, I like this a lot. So, of course, thanks for joining me again. So,
Dude, hell yeah, man. No, anytime, bro. I'm a big fan of K-Bear, so hell yeah,
oh,
man.
good. Yeah, I know it's crazy that, like, we're like the only station that plays like modern metal and modern rock radio. It's just
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. Like I'm from Southern California originally, so I know K Rock, KLOS, and all those, and they play like the classics and same five
Yeah.
songs. And
Well, and that's the thing too, you know. I mean, I notice, especially, you know, going on tour, like when I was first kind of like trying to break into the business like 6, 7 years ago, like, you know, how many stations they really are almost more like classic rock stations with a couple of currents thrown in here. And then you got things like, you know, like an Octane or something that
right.
primarily focuses on new music with maybe a few classics thrown in. And then again, a station like you guys, it's just so cool because it'd be very easy for you guys to just kind of follow the standard classic rock thing, blah, blah, blah. But that's again why one of the reasons I'm such a big fan is because I think that the genre doesn't move forward and new acts don't break without the support of stations like yours. So, you know,
Absolutely.
thank you. Hell
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
man.
awesome. So, and I heard from a recent interview you lived in Anaheim, California for like a year and a half.
Yeah, man, for
How
sure.
was that? Did you like it a lot out there? Because I'm from Seal Beach, California, which is about 20 minutes south
Okay.
of that, and I went to Cal State Fullerton for college, which is right next to Anaheim, so I mean, I'm used to that area through and through.
Yeah, man. So it was, I mean, it was pretty much like the cliche thing. I was like 21 years old and I was like, dude, let's go to LA. Like, let's
Yeah.
play the whiskey. And you know, I loved like Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and the whole 80s scene. I was always into those behind the music. So to me, again, I'm from a small town in Spearfish, South Dakota. So there's no really like music scene or whatever you want to call it, you know. So yeah, I was like going out there. Dude, I just loved being out there, and we happened to find this little apartment for $1,850 a month for a one bedroom studio in Anaheim. We got that, and man, oh my God, we had fun, bro.
And that was how long ago? You were 21, and then like it was 1850 a month back then.
Yeah, that was probably
Oh,
like
jeez.
2011, 2012. Yeah, for like
I
literally, and it was at a hotel, you know, they just kind of had this like separate kitchenette type apartment area.
Right.
And, but again, like, you know, with between three or four of us, we all had to throw down, you know, $400 a month, but it was all furnished, no utility. Like, we were so irresponsible and things like that. You know what I'm saying? So it just worked out, man. And then, yeah, we ended up staying there about a year and a half, worked with a producer, ended up going to Texas to record, obviously played places like the Whiskey and the Rainbow. And again, you
Yeah.
know, at the time when you're in your early 20s, it feels like you're kind of just catching on. So yeah, man, it definitely, I consider that like that thing kind of started out there for sure.
And you said Spearfish, South Dakota. So of course, like you were born and raised there. Is that what it was?
No, I'm actually from outside of Chicago, lived there
Okay.
till I was about 8, 9 years old. And I had always lived with my grandparents since I was born. My mom passed away of a heroin overdose when I was about 9. And so basically, I always lived with my grandparents, though, and they were from this area, the Black Hills of South Dakota. So basically, I moved up here with them. And yeah, man. Yeah, I've been here for like 20 some years now. So.
And I also like heard that you have like a kid out there, you're married, and you have your whole family settled out there, and like obviously you wouldn't want to move either, especially having family there and like transferring schools. Yeah, because I moved out here by myself just a year ago to East Idaho. Big difference, of course, from Southern California to here. And of course, we were making jokes all the time, like the Californians taking over Idaho and coming in. So I
Yeah.
mean, being in that area, like what really got you into music? What got you to be who you are today? I mean, I know that's a stereotypical question for an interview, but I mean, like, I always love hearing about what started it all.
For sure. No, I think for me, it always goes back to, like I said, my mom died of the heroin overdose when I was 8 or 9 years old. And that was always like, you know, that's just something that doesn't leave you, especially when you're that age, like to handle the trauma of all that. So a year or two after that, my uncle came out and visited me, and we were driving somewhere some morning, and he put on the song No More Tears by Ozzy.
Oh, fantastic.
And at the time, I'd never heard of that. I was like, who is that? And he said, Ozzy Osbourne. And just when he said his name, and then just the way his voice sounded, it was No More Tears. Like, it just something just there was just that click, you know. So I had him play the song again. And, you know, it's like an 8 minute long song. So we listened to it twice. And bro, ever since that day, I have been obsessed. Literally 20 years later, still obsessed as I ever been. Started going to the local pawn shop at the time and having him hold any Ozzy CDs or Black Sabbath CDs that would come in. And bro, like third, fourth, fifth grade, I mean, going to bed at 10 o'clock at night for school, I had my little CD player, Walkman, whatever it was. And
yeah,
I would play those albums front to back, man, all just obsessively.
Oh,
so I
awesome.
Credit that as the start for sure.
Okay, cool. So Ozzy was like the first real artist that really got you into the whole genre. Because for me, it was like AC/DC. My dad introduced me to them. It's like during sixth grade, and I've been nonstop into classic rock and especially this whole genre. So that's awesome. So, and then also like, I mean, 500 million combined streams that you told me about on the email, and I was blown away by that because we were posting on TikTok here. Like, we have to post videos on TikTok all the time. One of mine got like 10,000 views. And I was like, Mom, I made it. I'm officially big time. And so saw 500 million combined streams, that of course built over time. Like, have the numbers grown exponentially recently, or like just like, did it take for a little bit for it to kick, or what happened there?
Well, basically what happened is it's kind of a, I guess, non-traditional scenario here. So about, I don't know, let's say like 4 years ago, you know, I was making an album, was trying to get some stuff going. I had a big satellite radio hit a couple of years prior, became, you know, went top 40 on the charts, went on tour, opening up for some awesome artists. That was like 2013, 2014. And then, you know, had a problem with my management and label at the time, and we kind of parted ways. And basically it came down to, I went on YouTube one day and searched up Blacklight District, and I saw this anime video, and it had like 1 million views on it. And I was like, wow, like 1 million views on some random channel. It was called Nightcore. They like speed the music up a little bit and place it to like anime thing the kids do, you know?
Right.
And anyway, so I reached out to the guy. I was like, hey man, you know, like, I see you used my song. I'd love to maybe try another one, since I had a new song at the time. He agreed. We kind of became partners. He posted it. Within a month or two, that next song had 1 million views. And over like the first 6-8 months of doing that, you know, there'd be a lot of songs, a couple hundred thousand views. We'd be lucky one would hit 1 million. Then a little bit after that, I started seeing these Minecraft music videos with 10 million views, 20 million views. So I was like, maybe there's something here, you know?
Right.
So I basically went on YouTube, found the biggest Minecraft channels I could find, reached out to a couple of them. And this one guy in particular happened to just somehow had heard of me through this other anime video I was doing. He's a channel called Rainimator. And basically we kind of did the same thing. Let's give it a try. Let's use some of my, like one of my songs, you make a video. Bro, this first video comes out. We did about 1 million views the first week, which at the time I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy. And then about 3 weeks later, we dropped the second song, Cold as Ice. And that one did about 3.5 million the first week, trending like in the top 50 on YouTube. And again, I'm looking, it's like, dude, it's all hip hop videos, pop stars, like movie trailers, this and that. And then all of a sudden, here's my song as the soundtrack to this Minecraft video trending. And basically ever since then, yeah, that's brought in probably 300 million streams over the last 3 years, because every video blows up. Just 4 days ago, we dropped a song on my new album called Clear Skies. We're at about 600,000 views in 4 days, man.
Wow.
Again, it's kind of non-traditional. It's not like the radio charts or the Billboard charts or those types of things. But I just kept seeing, again, a lot of these up and coming rappers and other artists that are just blowing up, going platinum with really no radio play, no touring, just online, whether it's SoundCloud, Spotify, all these types of places. So basically, to make a long story short, I figured, okay, what is the best way to get my music in front of as many people as possible with no money, basically, you know? Here comes Minecraft, and it has single-handedly changed my life.
And
no joke, I say that over the last couple of years.
Have you ever played Minecraft, or did you see the videos on YouTube and like, decided to join in?
It's funny, my fans, even to this day, everyone still says, do you play? Like, when are you going to play? Never played it, bro. Never played it one time. I wasn't even too familiar with it. At first, I didn't get it. It was like just a bunch of block figures and this and that. But bro, like, again, because what I do is a part of a series, it's like a storyline, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, the video we just dropped was a sequel to the last video for Gotta Get Out of Here a couple months ago. And again, just to watch the passion of this young, because it's a lot of kids, teenagers, you know, to see the passion these kids have, not only for the story itself, but then for the music. You know, my YouTube channel is about to hit 200,000 subscribers.
Right.
Blue Line Spotify up, just about to hit 100 million on Spotify. So again, it was a combination of that. And then again, of course, when I can take it to radio and get that support and go on the road, all of that together has just, man, it's launched my career. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I know. I saw a recent interview, like I said, with you holding up the YouTube plaque. I'm like, that's such a great milestone to have 200,000 subscribers. I mean, that's big time. That is so
dude,
cool.
We're here. I got to do it.
Right? Oh, yeah. Let's see it.
Here we are.
Is that heavy at all? Because I've seen so many people hold those. Like, is that like a heavy plaque?
I mean, it's not like paper thin light. You know, it's not crazy heavy, but it's sturdy for sure.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I'm proud of this, obviously, it's a big feat to get 100,000 subscribers. But again, kind of going back to what we started with, like a non-traditional way, I almost look at this as like a modern day, like gold or platinum plaque or something like that. You know, it's not the traditional thing, but it's like, you know, it's something new that recognizes an accomplishment on one of the new platforms. And I, again, I'm grateful. I mean, I'm like grateful for this. You know what I'm saying? This is important to me for sure.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And you said you're teaming up with that, is it Ranimator, you said?
Yep, Ranimator.
Ranimator, and you're teaming up with them to make your Clear Skies video.
Yep. And that actually just dropped Saturday. Like I said, over 600,000 views in 4 days already. And again, what's so cool is that, like, some people don't get it. So like when my team is pitching, like me, whether it's radio or this or that, you know, they'll say, well, check, he does these Minecraft videos. And some guys will say, oh, that's nerdy. We don't care about that. And I get that. I do get it. You know, believe me, at first it was kind of like, it's kind of goofy. But again, at the end of the day, when you see the fan base that it brought and the passion and something non-traditional where, you know, this music really does get in front of a mass audience.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
It streams 10 times more than the top 10 songs on the rock chart sometimes, you know? And to me, I guess like I have just always been a guy that's been so into trying to move the rock genre forward into some mainstream light, into embracing some of these new technologies. I think it's important, but again, man, like it's just something that I'm proud of and I think it's worked out, you know?
And so, yeah, for like your new album, 1990, I've been listening to it, of course. And like, it's a different way that the rock genre is going, like what you just said, because like I've been listening to Bad Omens recently. They have like the different synthesizer. I mean, you have like the hip hop sounds in your songs too. Like, do you just create that on your own? Like, do you just decide to play one thing? You're like, oh, that sounds cool. Let me add on to this and create a song out of it. Is that your approach or what is it?
I mean, I don't really have a standard way to do it. I mean, typically that's what'll happen a lot. I can be in, you can't see because we're this way, but behind me, like I'm in my studio right now. So the computer, MIDI keyboard and all that. So yeah, a lot of times it'll start with just, you know, even if it's just a beat or some little cool synth line that pops up and it's like, ooh, like, just that. I don't know. I guess I feel like sometimes I get a certain feeling off something where it's like, oh, I'm almost getting like a goosebump feeling off just this like synth lead sound. So it's like, okay, let's bring the guitar in. Like, how would that kind of go with that? Or how can we make something underneath the synth that, you know what I'm saying? And it just kind of comes together. A lot of times, you know, again, back in the day, it would start with an acoustic guitar and writing things on pad and paper. And as time went on, it changed over to the electronic, the keyboard, the MIDI sounds. And then really for 1990, the last couple albums I've done are very hip hop and pop influenced.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little bit of context, about a year ago, I was in treatment, drug rehab. I was addicted to opiates very badly, fentanyl specifically. And that was a big issue. I mean, I was doing 40 pills a day, like couldn't do anything in the day unless I was like first thing in the morning, two of these pills, you know what I'm saying? And again, my mom died of a heroin overdose. My father committed suicide via heroin. So there's just a lot of bad things with opiates. Mm-hmm. And here I am, a 30-year-old dude with my 8-year-old son. And I almost basically, it just felt like the roles were reversed in a way, you know? And so again, I went to treatment, you know, gone for 40 days, came out, did all my therapy, counseling. I'm still over 400 days sober now, which I'm very proud of.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It means a lot. And a couple months later, I ended up breaking my hip when I was out rollerblading. Oh my God, dude. Worst thing ever. I mean, the pain two fractures right in the femur. So now I have a foot and a half of like rods and metal pieces in there. But when I broke my hip, I was basically confined to like a recliner chair.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing was playing a ton of acoustic guitar, writing things down almost like I did when I was a teenager, you know? And it was just like, man, I am a rock artist. What it came down to is the last couple of years on drugs, but dude, I always wanted that, you know, like Post Malone stardom. Like as a kid, I wanted to be a rock star, platinum records, arenas, you know, and it just seemed like, man, it just seems like rock doesn't get you there these days. That's why I started again, going with a lot of the electronic sounds. And, but I think what it came down to was when my hip was broken, playing so much guitar, just really having time to think, clear-headed, sober. It just all led me to be like, you know what? I'm going back to Nashville to work with my producer, Brett Hesla, who I worked with early in the beginning. He was in the band Creed, singer of Dark New Day and a bunch of things like that. And so, yeah, I drove 2,600 miles with a broken hip by myself with crutches to Nashville to make this album.
Wow. That is awesome. Yeah. It's crazy. Cause Tony Hawk just said he broke his femur. And I was like talking about that on the air just today. And I'm like, man, a lot of leg injuries. Like I broke my ankle back in high school playing basketball, and that was the worst. I can't imagine the longest bone in your leg plus your hip being broken. But I mean, that's a cool story.
The other thing that happened, though, is that when the ambulance came to pick me up. Now, remember, I'm only like 4 or 5 months sober off opiates, which are painkillers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So with them picking me up, we had the issue of, okay, this is like excruciating pain. How do we kind of handle that? Ended up, it's not the hospital's fault or nothing, but the first night in the hospital, they actually ended up overdosing me on fentanyl in the hospital. It was crazy, man. So again, I barely got any pain relief because of the addiction problem stuff. So it was, dude, it was terrible. But again, I feel like I got the album out of it. It kind of took me back to the right path. So I'm more than happy for it.
And I was going to say, like, the title 1990, obviously I looked it up, the year you were born sort of thing. Like, what made you want to name it that? Like, I'm not trying to be like, what made you want to, but it's like, I know Bryan Adams, he has the notorious Summer of 69 where he was 10 years old and he just did that because it sounded good. What made you choose 1990? Because obviously, like, I don't remember anything from 1996 when I was born. So it's kind of just like one of those things where it's like, it might sound cool, but what exactly is the reasoning behind naming your album 1990?
So what it kind of came down to was because I was sober, you know, because I had made a lot of life changes, stylistically, obviously I went in a heavier rock direction than I had been doing. I just felt like this album was kind of like the reset point for me in life. Like, you know, again, clear-headed, sober, broke the hip, changed all this stuff, musically, all that kind of stuff. It was like, okay, not only, you know, it just seemed like that was the right thing to do. Born in 1990, let's call the album 1990, like where it all starts from. I have other projects, other albums, other things like that, but I wanted 1990 to kind of sit there as like, okay, this is the starting point or the restarting point. You know what I'm saying? I thought about maybe calling it Reset or, you know, something goofy along those lines, but
yeah,
it just felt like, hey, why not? Like that's when I began. Like I'm beginning again. That's why I put the album out on December 31st, like New Year's Eve, 1990. That's kind of what it was for me, is about really a reset in life. For
it's awesome. And who designs the artwork? Do you just design the artwork yourself or how do you come up with that?
No, this one is pretty simple. It's just a new logo and a black background basically. But I have a few different people on my team who do graphics and things like that. But I reached out to a specific friend from, I actually had a couple people try and draw this logo because again, I've had this logo idea in my head for like 20 years and I've always written it down and I've had people try and make before, but this one guy, Micah Martin, who's actually a very big EDM singer, sent me the logo and it just looked so perfect. Exactly how I wanted it. And again, going to the 1990 reset, let's not make it about anything other than the music. So it was like, let's put the logo on a black background, call it 1990, keep it as simple as I possibly could, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for that. It was a simple one, you know. but again, I wanted the music to do the talking because it's more than, you know, obviously image and these types of things are very important, but you know, again, a reset, I know I keep going back to that, but it's just such an important stat for me that it just felt like keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah, no kidding. I think sometimes simplicity is better too, like with Metallica's Black Album, Jay-Z even had the Black Album, like just straight up black album covers, you know, and something let the music do the talking. That's awesome. So well awesome. Well, yeah, thank you very much. That's pretty much it with all the questions I got. And if you could just do two things for me, that'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Could you just like introduce, like, say your I'm Kyle from Blacklight District, and you're listening to Idaho's only rock station, K-Bear 101.
You got it. What's up? This is Kyle. Sorry, let me hit it again.
No, it's okay.
What's up? This is Kyle Pfeiffer, Blacklight District, and you are listening to Idaho's only rock station?
You got it. No, don't worry. Like, I interviewed James Labrie of Dream Theater, and he took forever. He had to write it down, so it's all good.
No, it's Idaho's only rock station, or only real rock station.
It used to be only real. Now it's only rock station.
Okay. What's up? This is Kyle from Blacklight District, and you are listening to Idaho's only rock station, K-Bear 101.
And then could you just say, you're listening to Peaches in your midday on K-Bear 101?
Just that?
Just that, because I'm going to use that for my show, too.
You are listening to, say it again, sorry.
Oh, it's my last name is Peach, so I go by Peaches. So it's you're listening to Peaches in your midday on K-Bear 101.
You are listening to Peaches in your midday on K-Bear 101.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kyle. That was awesome.
Hey, Peaches.
Yes.
So is that what you go by?
That's what I go by on the station, yeah. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man, no, I was just telling Victor, I just accepted the offer for Edge Fest, which is a little up from you guys in Jerome, Twin Falls area.
Yeah.
On July 30th. So we're actually getting a hold on a venue in Idaho Falls for the night before Friday, July 29th. So I think I'm going to be up there, man.
Oh, perfect. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, we're wanting, definitely always open to you.
Yeah, man. No, so just to say, I'll find you on Facebook or something, but I'd love to stay in touch. And again, man, at the end of the day, I really appreciate the support. It means more than you know. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much for the whole thing, man. It's awesome. Thank you.
Anytime, bro. We'll talk soon, man.
All right. Sounds good.
Take it easy, bro.
You too.